No bouncing ball coming. All right, so 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that is not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we've been going over several weeks now on how to study the Bible. We're commanded to study, and so we ought to know how to study the Bible. And once you get past, I'm saved, I know how I got saved, I know how to lead others to Christ, I know what happened the day I got saved, you ought to continue to grow in the Scriptures. And you do that by reading and studying the Bible. And so the Bible tells us here how to study. And so this should follow along with your page there, but we're gonna go through here. So again, if you need the previous three handouts for this to how to study, I can get you copies of those. I think I might even have some around here somewhere this morning. But if you need copies of those, we can get you those. And I can get you the notes to them as well. But we've been kind of leading up to this thing of how to study the Bible and looking at just different things in Scripture and looking at the reason why you need to study and how to view the Scriptures and understanding that different portions of Scripture are written to different people. There's three groups of people mentioned throughout the Bible. You have Israel, you have the church, and you got the lost, the Gentiles. So there's different groups of people, and so understanding who is writing, who they're writing to, we looked at all that last week, and I believe that the last couple have been recorded, so if you want to listen to those as well, they should be. I know 2 weeks ago was online, and we'll try to get last week's up as well. There was some problems with a few of the recordings that didn't get recorded, so we'll try to get those right going forward. But so today I want to start looking at this part of studying the Scriptures. We looked at that we ought to study. We got to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help us. We know that we do it. It's the only place in Scripture that shows us that we can be approved of God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And we ought not to be ashamed of the Bible. But, you know, one way to keep you from being ashamed is knowing it. If you don't know the Scripture and somebody questions you on something, it'll make you ashamed because you don't know what the answer is. Not necessarily that you're ashamed of Christ or of the Bible, but you ought to be able to give an answer. I tested some folks on Wednesday night on some things when we were looking through there on some of the promises of God's Word. We say standing on the promises, but we say, well, I believe this is a promise of God, and I asked, well, okay, where is it? And it was open Bible. Anybody can go look wherever they want to look, but it just gets you thinking about some things. Do you know what you believe, and do you know how to prove it? You don't have to have it all memorized. But the more you read your Bible, the more comfortable you'll be with where things are found. And so I want to look at a few things this morning. And this one here will probably take us a couple weeks to go through. We'll see. We might get through most of it this morning. But on examples of divisions that need to be made. The Bible said rightly dividing the word of truth. That's how you study the Bible. And so there's some divisions that must be made. All right, so examples of divisions that are to be made in Scriptures, the Old Testament and the New Testament. That is a division that's made for you in your Bible between the two. The Old Testament begins with Genesis 1:1. So that's a simple one there. All right, the Old Testament begins with Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. All right, now the New Testament is a little bit different, as in it does not begin with Matthew 1:1. Can anybody tell me right off the top of their head where the New Testament begins? That's the proof that it begins in Matthew 27:50. All right, let's go look at Matthew 27:50. All right, Brother Roman. We're starting with simple divisions. And we're going to lead up to more complicated divisions. All right. All right, Matthew 27:50 is where we'll look first. Matthew 27:50. So, the Bible here says that Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. This is when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. Now go over to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 16 through 17, and we'll show where that division is made when it comes to a New Testament. We know a testament is something that's like a will that's made out or a desire of somebody before they die. And the Bible here tells us exactly what that entails. And so this is why we believe that the New Testament officially begins in Matthew 27:50 with the death of Christ. All right, Matthew chapter 9, verse 16 through 17. The Bible says, "For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is no strength at all while the testator liveth." Somebody could have a testament written out, like my dad might have one written out, leaving all the money he's got stored up somewhere, but it's no good to me until he dies. Amen. Which probably is not the case, but we'll see. And so that's how this thing works. It's spelled out here in Hebrews chapter 9, so let me fill it out with y'all. I'm sure you got it there right in front of you, but all right. So this is an example of some divisions that are made in Scripture. And sometimes I'll run across people that do not believe in divisions in Scripture, and I don't know what they do with 2 Timothy 2:15. But immediately I ask them, I was like, "Do you believe in Old Testament and New Testament?" They say, "Yes." I was like, "You just divided the Bible. You know, what are you going to do with it now?" Amen. So this is a simple one that we find, first of all, when dividing Scripture. Now, you can drill down very deep in this study, going into it, as Brother Roman tried to reveal a second ago, but we'll get into some of that a little bit later on. I'm not going to go over right now, throughout this course of how to study, I'm not going to go over all the different time periods. I'm going to introduce those to you over the next few weeks, and then maybe down the road we can dive into each one of them and look at them, but I just want to give this... I'm trying to cover how to study the Bible, just to kind of give you an overview when you're studying through your Bible. All right. Right. That's right. Something changed, something happened, something shook the earth immediately after he died. That's correct. All right. And so there's some divisions that have to be made. The Bible tells us that. That's how we study. If not, it's going to cause problems. And we're going to begin to look at some of these. All right. Now, this next one I went ahead and spelled out on your paper because we covered it last in our last handout of different time periods. We looked at times past, but now and ages to come. That's another division that you can make when you're studying through Scripture. And I showed you all the books that are written to the church, which is Romans through Philemon. Those are for us today, for the church age. So everything before that is times past, and everything in that group of passages is but now, and everything after that is ages to come. So that's an easy division when you're just now getting into studying your Bible and reading. You can see what book am I reading, where am I at, and you can find out quickly in one of those three categories where you're at. Either times past, but now, or ages to come. And we spent some time on that a few weeks ago. All right, and then the next division that we're going to talk about this morning, this is where we'll park for a little while, is what is known as dispensations. All right, and we're gonna look at where those are found here in just a second. I know we did that early on in our study, but we're going to do it again this morning. But first of all, I want to show the Bible. This is the biblical definition of dispensations, the Bible outline definition of dispensations. And it is the management... It's the management of a household or of household affairs, specifically the management or oversight or administration of others' property. So you're responsible for somebody else's property or somebody else's affairs. All right, this is what this, when you find the word dispensation of Scripture, and we're going to look at them in a second, that's what it means. It means the management of a household. It's the office of a manager, an overseer, or a stewardship. All right, our stewardship, it's an administration, a dispensation, all right? And so that's what that means. And so there's different time periods throughout the Bible where God dispensed a stewardship to different individuals. God dealt with them differently. He had, in every dispensation, God had somebody or a group of men that were responsible for carrying out the management of His plan for that time. In every one of them, there were stewards for every one of them. Paul is the apostle to the church. He's the apostle to our age. And I'm going to show you here in these verses where God gave him something that was different that He didn't give anybody else. And the Bible uses the word dispensation. It's a stewardship that was given to him. All right? And so the word dispensations is found four times in Scripture. All right? It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm writing at a weird angle here. Verse 17 is found in Colossians 1:25. It's found in Ephesians 1:10. And it's found in Ephesians 3:2. So let's go look at those verses. We looked them up when we very first studied how to study the Bible. It might be even in number 1 or number 2 on your handout. But we're going to look at those right now. Just for the sake of the study this morning. All right, we're talking about how to study the Bible. It says rightly divide. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And verse number 17. Now notice all these four mentions of the word dispensation are all referred to. Are all Paul writing about something that was given him. All right, but notice as he talks about this thing that was given to him that wasn't given to anybody else. It was something different. Something changed. All right, and so we see here in verse number 17. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, and it says a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. So a stewardship, a management of this gospel that he's talking about was given to him. Now, as we go on to study what that gospel is that he preached, we find out it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he talks about that. All right, look with me in Colossians chapter 1. All right, Colossians chapter 1, look at verse number 25. So he already mentioned that a gospel was given to him, was dispensed to him for him to be the steward of it. Verse number 25, Colossians chapter 1, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Verse 26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Something changed. And something was given to Paul that was different in that it was hid from all those other folks before him. I mean, do you see that there? All right, look at Ephesians chapter 1. The Bible tells us to rightly divide the word of truth. And so as we study through Scripture, we've got to be able to do that and make the distinctions like the Bible tells us to. All right, Ephesians chapter 1. And again, last week I talked about who is writing, who are they writing to. Every one of these passages we find is Paul the Apostle writing to the churches. All right, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times. So it actually gives a name to one of the to the dispensation here. All right, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. And we find out because of this dispensation that was given to Paul that the gospel by which we're saved, it's Jew and Gentile in one body. Before it wasn't that way. It was a Jewish salvation. And if a Gentile wanted to be saved, they had to become a proselyte Jew. Well, now it's just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And that goes for anybody, Jew and Gentile in one body, and that body is Christ. Nobody knew that before it was given to Paul. That stewardship, that management, that dispensation was given to Paul. All right, look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2. All right, so Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 2. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. So again, he names this dispensation. He names this time period. The grace of God which is given to me, to you word. It wasn't given to anybody else. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words. What's the mystery? It's us in Christ. The Jew and Gentile in Christ. We just read that over in Ephesians chapter number 1. All right, the mystery. Wherein ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages, verse number 4 or 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the spirits. And I could keep going on and on in reading this with Paul addressing that this thing was given to him. It was not known before. It was a mystery that is now revealed to Paul. Something changed. God gave it to Paul. He dispensed that stewardship to Paul. And he uses the word dispensation there when it talks about that. And so when we talk about dispensations, we're talking about a stewardship. We're talking about God's plan and him having men that he used to carry out his plan for different time periods. Does anybody have any questions or confusion on that? Brother Stephen.
I think this is a good example of why the local church is so important, because this is no different than the fact that God will give a local church pastor something for you that he won't give you directly.
Right.
If you're not a part of a local church with a God-called pastor, you are missing out on what God has for you.
Amen.
And that's what he has ordained. That's why the local church, this right here is why the local church is so important.
Yeah. Amen.
It's not the church of your choice. It's the church that there's a church that God has for you to go to for something for you at that church, at your place.
Yep.
Now, what church is that all like?
All right, Dad.
I mean, that's where God told me to go.
Right. Yep. Amen. Right. Yep.
I'm not saying I don't like it.
Move along. No. Amen. No, you're absolutely right. It's about obeying God. I mean, look at all the things through Scripture, pictures of that, what Brother Stephen just said, where God took some of his prophets and some of his apostles to places that they didn't want to be, that wasn't comfortable because he needed to teach them something. So there's pictures of that all through Scripture. Amen. That's right. I think so. I believe so.
Yeah. But, I mean,
yeah. And it was like 3 days later, whatever. Yep.
But God could have healed him right then and there.
Right. But he wanted to teach Paul some things. He set him apart in Damascus for 3 years to give him what we're reading here, this mystery of the gospel, all that was given to Paul. And so, and as Brother Stephen said, you know, I don't know how many times I've read my Bible growing up and didn't fully understand, but then when I went to church, and God, you know, through the Holy Spirit and through the preaching, God said, here's what I'm talking about right here. Amen. So, 4 times this word is mentioned in Scripture. To some people, they're scared half to death of this word. They're scared of it. But regardless of how you view salvation throughout Scripture, there's no doubt that things are different throughout Scripture. Is there a tree sitting anywhere right now that you're told not to go eat the fruit off of it? Okay, something changed. Right? I'm going to get into some of that later. All right. But what I'm saying is the Bible tells us to rightly divide the word of truth. Okay? Now, there, as in anything, it can be taken too far. It can be. There's a just balance. Right? And so, I know people that say that we should only read the prison epistles and we shouldn't even read any of the other stuff. Well, you're an idiot. Because Paul flat out tells us that everything that was written, even aforetime, was written for our learning. Use some wisdom. Amen? And so there's people that break it down so much and they try to do away with the picture of water baptism and they do away with the Lord's Supper and all those kind of things. And that they can take it too far. All right? Sometimes they're referred to as hyper-dispensationalists. They go too far. Amen? But the truth is, there needs to be some divisions made in Scripture. And if you're going to study, you have to do that. And there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. Because he says rightly dividing the word of truth, which means there's a wrongly way to divide the word of truth. Amen. All right. So, there are different views of how many dispensations or time periods are found in the Bible. I know some people that teach five. I know some folks that teach seven. Clarence Larkin taught seven. There's others that teach 10. And the folks that I know that teach those different ones, I'm not saying that any of them are wrong, because they include some of them in one bunch. And I'm going to give you some examples of that here in a second. But just for the sake of rightly dividing and studying, I'm going to look at 10 different time periods in Scripture. Now, some of these 10 that I'm going to give you, they fit within another time period. And that's why some have five and some have seven. For example, Christ's earthly ministry is still in the Old Testament. I showed you that right from the start. So his time on earth and his earthly ministry was an extension of the law. And so it wasn't until he died that something changed. Right? So his whole entire earthly ministry is under the law. But when he showed up and John the Baptist showed up, something changed. It was an extension of the law, but there was a change. And because of that, I have his earthly ministry to Israel broke out as a separate one, just for the sake of the studying this morning. But if somebody says that that time of his earthly ministry to Israel is under the time period or dispensation of the law, they're not wrong because it fits in there. You understand what I'm saying? And then there's some that take the tribulation all the way through eternity and they put that in one time period, the end times. All right? And they group all that together and they teach the tribulation, the millennium, and the eternity all in that time period, which is okay, but they group that as one. But there's different things in each one of those. And there's different methods of salvation in each one of those. Different things they were told to do to get eternal life. And so I have each one of those broke out. So that's why there's 10 that I'm going to show you. But if you believe there's 7 or 5 or 1 or whatever, that's between you and God. Amen. I'm just trying to show you how to break up and divide.
I have never met
anybody. That's a
belief. I mean,
yeah, the Old Testament, New Testament. There's one division right there. All right. And then there's some churches that have the words of Christ as an entirely separate dispensation, and that's what they believe, the words in red. Amen. My Bible doesn't have red letter words. I believe it's all the Word of God. So, all right. So, this is just an introduction to some of these things, and I'm going to go for a few weeks on this introduction and look at some different things. And then, Lord willing, we're going to look at some Baptist distinctives, you know, some things that make us a Baptist. All right. So, the first five of these dispensations or time periods are found in the Old Testament. They're clearly seen by the covenants. All right, and this is the main reason why I put it up on the screen. So when I write out some of these so you guys can see them and get them quicker. All right. If this isn't helping nobody, let me know because I won't do it next time. All right, so the first five are in the Old Testament. They're clearly seen by the covenants, all right? So the very first time period of dispensation, I'm giving these names so that when we talk about them later on, you understand where they fall. The very first one is innocency. All right, that's the name that we're going to give. People name these different, and that's fine. You know, whatever you want to name it. Innocency. Adam and Eve, they hadn't sinned in the garden from at the very beginning. They didn't know sin. They didn't know right and wrong. Right? They were innocent. Just like a child, you might tell him, don't do that, you know, because there's consequences, but he doesn't know why. He doesn't understand. He don't understand the consequences. He don't understand, you know, they're innocent, right? And Adam and Eve in the garden were innocent, and it wasn't until they took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, so I try to tell myself not to get into these as we're going through it. But the first one is innocency, all right? And their only commandment was eat of whatever tree you want to, but do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was it. That was their stewardship. And so, they had it good. I would say, other than the one that we were in, amen, that they probably had a little bit better than we did. Amen. They would have lived on forever. And no pain in childbearing. Amen. All those things came because they sinned. You say, why did God make all the planets and everything? I think He made them to eventually be inhabited.
Yes, sir.
If nobody would have ever died because of sin, amen. And so it's innocency, all right? But whenever they partook of that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and again, I've covered this many times, I'll just say it again for the sake of the recording, that somebody says, why did He put a tree there if He didn't want them to take it? And God has always, in every time period, wanted man to choose Him. He gave man a free will to choose Him. Right now, we're under grace. And thank God for it, but He still wants you to choose Him. He asks you to walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. He asks you to do those things, but He's not going to make you. He wants you to choose Him. God wants to be worshipped. He's a jealous God. All right, innocency. But when they partook of that, they received a conscience. All right? The knowledge of good and evil. A child, when they grow up, they eventually get to the age where they know they're doing wrong and they understand right and wrong. You know what that is? They're receiving a God-given conscience. And so we're going to look at some of these later on when we get into it, but the Bible tells them that now their conscience is telling them what's right and wrong. So now it's not just a tree. That part's over. They blew it. God cut off access to that tree. There was a tree of life in there also. God cut off access to that tree. It's going to show back up later in the millennium, but God cut off access to it. Why? Now it's their conscience. They had the example of the garden and their conscience. And that is what excused them or unexcused them. We find that in Romans, all right? So, number two, we're going to call the second one conscience, because that is what they had. Now listen, this conscience is not the imagination of man. All right? The conscience is not whatever they dream up. The conscience is something that God gave them. God put in every man and woman a conscience that God made to tell you what's right and wrong. And I know everybody in this room has had one point in their life, at least, maybe when you're younger, hopefully still now, that there's something in you that bothers you when you do wrong. And that's even before salvation for us today. What is that? God put that in there. That's something God made. That's not something that's your imagination. That's not something that you came up with on your own. You're a good person because you made a good decision. God put the conscience in you. All right, so the second one is conscience. That's what Adam and Eve have to guide them. All right, and then the third one, we're going to call it human government. All right, and we're going to go through and look at some of these at some point. We're going to call it human government. All right, because the Bible says that man began to do evil and they began to do whatever they imagined. The imagination of their heart was wicked continually. It's found in the thoughts of the imagination of their heart is what the Bible says in the book of Genesis. So God said, all right, your conscience is going to tell you what's right and wrong. If you do right based off the conscience I gave you, you'll be okay. If not, you're not. That didn't work because they began to do whatever they wanted to do. All right. And so, a matter of fact, they begin to, during this time period, build the Tower of Babel, and they think they're going to reach heaven without God and all those kind of things. And so God tells them, okay, now you have the example of the garden. Now you have a conscience, and I want you to govern one another. These are things that change different time periods. And there's different stewards for each one of these, and we're going to get into that in some other studies that we're going to go over here in the next few weeks. So human government is what we'll call that one. And then the fourth one is the time period or dispensation of promise. We're going to call it promise. Okay? This is where Abraham comes on the scene. Okay? So you had human government. The ark is in that time period. God's story starts over again. And then Abraham comes on the scene, and God tells him that he's going to make a nation out of him, and God's going to call a people out that's going to be his people. All right, and then the majority of the rest of your book is about those people. Not about the church. It's about those people. Now, I'm thankful we're found in there. Amen? But it's promise. God begins to make these promises. Under this promise, you got the Abrahamic covenant and these different covenants that are made. All right, and things change during that time period. All right, and then the fifth one is the law. All right, the law. This is where God gives Moses the law, Mount Sinai. So up until that point, they had their conscience still. They were governing one another. They had this promise God made them. And there's some of these promises that are made we're going to look at that were unconditional, which means it doesn't matter what you do, I'm going to do this. But then some of those promises that were made, and that's all under this time period of the promise, some of them were, I'll do this if you do this. All right? That was something different. Adam and Eve didn't have that. The time of conscience didn't have that. When Cain killed Abel, that none of that was there. And so the law is given. So now God says, you got all these things, and I'm going to give you the law. And we'll look at those verses whenever we get to studying it. But God gives them the law, and the people said, we will do it. God said, listen, you want me to write it out for you? Amen. I know some of y'all that have employees have either thought that or said that before. Do you want me to write it out for you? Brother Roman, you're going to have to do that here soon. Do I need to spell it out for you? Amen. That's what God did. He said, listen, you can't do it on your own. I gave you a chance to do that. But I'm going to write it out for you. And with the finger of God, he wrote out the law and said, this is what you need to do. All right? And we know that they didn't do those things. So that's the first five. And we can see the different covenants that God made with Adam and with the Abraham and the David, the Davidic covenant and all those things. You can see all that through here, all right? The sixth is an extension of the Old Testament. It covers Christ's earthly ministry. All right? So it covers Christ's earthly, I ran out of room here, ministry. All right? Got an eraser too. All right, Christ's earthly ministry. And so I showed you that in the very beginning with the very first division, Matthew 27:50. When Christ dies is when the New Testament begins. So everything before that's in the Old Testament. All right? And I'm out of time, ain't I? All right, I'm going to give you the name of this one, then I'll stop and we'll finish the other ones. So this one here, we're going to name, for the sake of the study, ministry to Israel, or ministry of Israel. All right. And under this one, you have Christ preaching the kingdom. You have the disciples preaching the kingdom. John's baptism. Things change from the law. And I'm going to show you the verse where it says, it's been the law until now. Now it's Christ and the disciples and John and all them. So something changes. And the kingdom's being offered to the nation of Israel. All right? And some things change. So we'll look at those next ones. Lord willing, I might even have the next handout for you for next week, Lord willing. So, all through Scripture, we can see that we're not looking through a glass darkly. We have the Scripture, we have it all laid out, and Paul tells us that in the aforetime, those things are for our learning. But doctrinally speaking, the prophecies that you find in the Old Testament and in the Gospels are ages to come. You cannot find the church. You can find pictures. I hope you understand the difference between a picture and the actual real thing. You can find pictures and typologies of the church all through Scripture. But doctrinally speaking, those Scriptures apply to the Jew and they apply to a future time period, the prophecies. So there's ages, there's times past, there's but now. I showed you Romans through Philemon. Those are the Scriptures doctrinally. And we're talking about doctrinally, not spiritual application. Doctrinally, that's what's written to us right now. And then you have the ages to come. After Paul's final letter, after you get through Titus and Philemon, the rest of the Bible is ages to come. Okay? This is the simple way to look at it. And I know we can dive deeper into it, and we may at some point begin to look at some of those things. But when you're studying, you can kind of put it in one of those three categories. It's either times past, but now, or ages to come. All right, hopefully this makes sense. All right, just about, and maybe every, but just about every heresy taught in is a Bible truth misplaced, misapplied. So just about, and I say just about every heresy because there's some heresy that you can't even find in a NIV. All right, like I don't know where you got that. I honestly don't understand how somebody can get the tribulation messed up or can get some of these other things messed up as bad as they do. I mean, there's some of you are like, okay, well, you know,